again, and welcome to Crime Kooks with your hosts, Emily and
Rachel. Today we will tell you about the Zodiac Killer, a murderer whose identity was never figured out and who remains a mystery to this day.
Yeah, so as we know, we don't know his identity. This is mildly interesting.
His identity was unknown, so it's said that we can only speculate, which, I mean, you have to do either way. It's just sometimes it's right.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of just have to like, okay, so we have some theories about his early life. These are just some things that I didn't like. I know there's a lot of theories out there. I just kind of like narrowed it down to some that I was thinking because, you know, I'm such a genius and I'm like an expert profiler. But we do know that he's believed to be male. So he's believed to be a male killer. A theory that I had was that he, like many serial killers, probably grew up exposed to violent behavior when he was younger, leading to, like, these violent acts, you know, killing people. Pretty violent. I figured since he killed a lot of couples, that was kind of his thing. He may have had something against couples or maybe something, like, he never had. Like, he was never exposed to a healthy or loving relationship. So he was like, hey, if I can't have this, you can't.
He might have just been like, oh, you know what? It could have also just been, you know, he got his heart broken. He doesn't want that for either of them. So he's trying, it's a sympathy kill.
That is an interesting, like, that sounds so weird, but it almost makes sense.
It makes sense in the mind of someone who, well, and you can't even say crazy because they weren't, they might not have been crazy. They just weren't at the same ideals as everyone else.
Yes. Okay, so let's just like go into his crime. So he, we know that he didn't actually do like, he's not like Ted Bundy. He didn't kill like he didn't kill like 30 people. He did kill a few couples though. So he operated mainly in Northern California from at least the late 1960s to the early 1970s. He has been directly linked to at least 7 murders, spanning from 1968 to 1969, though some claim he has killed 37. So, again, it's kind of not quite Ted Bundy because Ted Bundy was, you know, like 50. Well, technically, he's confirmed 30, but, like,
yeah,
he probably killed more.
No, I get it.
But, yeah, so that's what people speculated, but we have no way of actually knowing.
And since so many people... It's just amazing how many people get away with murder because like they say, you know, there's a lot of deaths that they want to pair with him, but like there's not enough proof.
Yeah. Cause like for all we know, someone else could have killed those people. That's what I find so intriguing about cases like these where we don't actually know the number of kills they've actually had. So there's like, it's either they did kill those people or they didn't. And it's just, there's a lot of factors.
Right.
Well, as we know, he attacked couples, so he typically attacked them in pairs. I've seen, you know, I actually haven't seen this, but I've always wanted to watch the movie with Robert Downey Jr. playing the Zodiac. I always thought that was really cool.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr., he makes sense for it because the dude is really cocky, and he just,
I get it.
It's just, like he makes a good... character, cocky character. He does good.
Yeah. Because like Iron Man.
Yeah, you know, like he does an Iron Man. But like, okay. Why is he called the Zodiac Killer?
Okay. So we know that Zodiac is like linked to all those different like astrological signs and stuff like Capricorn, stuff like that. I honestly don't know. I think it's because I don't know if there's exactly a pattern to his killing, but it might have been like every month or something. But
okay. But like, what if they it goes deeper than that? You know what I mean? So like, what if the Zodiac Killer, like now people try and match up their astrological signs with their significant other, you know, like Leos with Scorpios or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, what if it was that? And if they didn't go well together, he was like, you know what?
Yeah. I mean,
you're not happening.
There's no exactly way. Cause like, okay. So the authorities actually weren't the ones who named him. It was him. He named himself the Zodiac Killer in one of his letters, but he never really exactly explained why. So it's very likely that could have been something like that, especially with like the whole couples thing. And it sounds kind of cool.
I mean, right.
You got it.
No, the Zodiac Killer is totally like a neat name. It's just, I want to know so much more. I want to delve into his name. Like, why? I have so many questions and so few answers.
That's what's so annoying about this case. It's like a mystery. And like, this sounds really bad, but I wish I could ask him myself almost.
Right.
Just like I want to get him on.
Dahlia case?
Yeah. Actually, we will be talking about that in a few podcasts.
We will.
So, little teaser for you guys. Get excited. So, getting back on track of the Zodiac Killer. So we do know that he sent a lot of letters to the police. He taunted them spanning from 1969 to 1974 before the letters abruptly stopped. And as far as we know, along with the letters, the murders also stopped. His signature was a symbol with a circle with a cross through it, as many know. It's kind of like little, I don't know, like it's kind of just like the thing. A lot of people know that.
I have a few more theories. Now, so first of all, you said it just automatically stopped in 1974. What if he didn't go under? What if he died that year?
That actually could be a possibility, but there were a lot of suspects, so I'm not entirely sure. But that is a very likely possibility.
Exactly. But if you go on through the area around and who was there in that present time and see who died in that year of the suspects, you could probably narrow it down quite a bit if that's true. Another thing, do you think it was a circle through a cross with it because he was like, you know, anti-couple? And, you know, like a circle with a cross through it is like, no. If you have an image behind the cross...
It might be. Okay, that's a good theory, but I don't know if it has anything to do with the Zodiacs or anything. Like, I don't know if that links to it, so it might have something to do with that, but it could also be that. There's, again, I wish I could ask him this stuff. That sounds really bad, but I just wanted to know.
I know. There's so many questions.
Okay, so about his letters. So the first letter that we know was sent on August 1st, 1969. It was, there are actually three. There are three identical handwritten letters with no return address that were sent to the San Francisco Examiner, the San Francisco Chronicle, and Vallejo's Times Herald. So two of those are newspapers, and I believe one of them is a medical examiner.
Mm-hmm.
These letters contained info of the recent murders. So like I believe murdered two people.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about things that only the killer could have known, gave specific details. And that's why he sent it to the medical examiner, because only the medical examiner could know a lot of the stuff that happened. So, and the killer actually threatened that if this letter did not make the front page, he would continue to murder.
Wouldn't it be interesting if it was actually that he was the medical examiner and he did that to not only get people off his trail, but also to still get his information out?
You just keep coming up with all these good theories. Like, that would actually make sense, but I don't know if we, because it didn't really give the name of the medical examiner. I don't know if that was just left out for, like, privacy reasons. I mean, he's dead now, obviously, probably, I think. But it could very well have been him. It would actually be a pretty genius cover, especially in the 1970s. People don't expect stuff like that.
Right.
Like, honestly, I think that's kind of cool.
Listen, like, I know what I'm talking about sometimes.
But, okay, he did kind of lie, though. I mean, he said he wouldn't murder anyone if it made the front page, and it did, and he still killed people.
Yeah, but how long did it take for it to reach the front page?
Yeah, but those things take time. Well, anyway, the two victims of that were detailed in the letter were a young teenage couple, David Arthur Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen. The two were shot and killed on December 20th, 1968. So we don't really know where they were killed, but they were obviously killed.
Betty Lou Jensen is such a nice name. I'm sorry, it rolls right off the tongue. It's a really nice name.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they both died on December 20th, 1968. But also, all the letters that the Zodiac Killer sent contained one part of a three-part cipher that the killer claimed to hold his identity.
So, okay, about the cipher.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he's kind of like... So the cipher actually was not solved for a while. But okay. So first, actually, soon after this first letter was sent with the ciphers in it, another letter was sent to the San Francisco Examiner, giving more gruesome details of the murders and continued to taunt the police for failing to crack, the cipher or find the Zodiac killer. So again, the whole cocky thing, he's real cocky. And so back to the cipher. Several days later, after the letter was sent, actually a high school teacher, Donald Hardin, and his wife, Betty, solved the cipher. Now, my question is, why would they get a high school teacher to solve it? Like, I don't know if he was like...
I don't know. Why did... Okay, one of the biggest issues is he clearly wanted attention, and that's why he was doing it. Because otherwise, he wouldn't keep coming back and forth and back and forth and talking to the police, because he wants people to know he exists. He wants them to acknowledge what he's doing and that he's good at what he's doing, which is...
That's where it gets hard, because you don't want to, like, stop. You don't want to, like, not give him attention, because he's obviously going to hurt innocent people if he does or if he threatens to. But if you don't give him the attention, then he also runs a chance of stopping, maybe. Because, like, you know, the violent tendencies are never going to go away. Mm-hmm. But he's doing it all for the attention, really. He's kind of like... Honestly, he's kind of like a child, just trying to get your attention.
Right. Like, hey, Mom, look at what I'm doing. Yeah, sweetie.
Yeah, I'm just killing people. So the cipher, again, the Zodiac killer is a big liar, if you ask me. It stated the cipher actually did not tell his identity. It stated, it is more fun than killing wild game in the forest because man is the most dangerous animal of all. So... Not quite sure exactly what that means. He's kind of like a little...
Well, he killed a lot of people in his in the woods. They were on dates in the woods, I think.
Yeah, so he's kind of drawing parallels between hunting and killing, which kind of makes sense, yeah.
And that could, once again, if he's a hunter and that's what he's trying to portray, then if he's a hunter, you just figure out who the hunters are in the area. Who go to that specific location.
That would be a good cover.
Exactly.
But I almost feel like... Now, I know there are some smart hunters out there, but I almost feel like it makes sense, but it also may not. Like, I honestly... I just hate this, because I really want to know who he was. There were, like, several different suspects, which I'll get into in a little bit. But, yeah.
What's crazy to think is, like, in TV shows, you're always able to figure out who the suspect is because it's always someone you know. But, like, in real life, you're like, oh, I might have been able to figure it out. And it's like, well, there's a bunch of people that you don't know exist in real life.
Yeah, I mean, not to, like, give any tips or anything, but it's easier to, like, kill someone you don't know. I mean, it's more common for killers to kill someone that they know, but a lot of the time, it's actually smart to kill someone you don't know because you can't really be linked unless you leave forensic evidence.
Exactly.
So that's probably what he was doing. He probably didn't know any of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of his victims, the second pair of victims were Michael Renault McGow and Darlene Elizabeth Farron. They were attacked on July 4th, 1969. And actually, Michael survived the gun attack. But sadly, Darlene did not and was found to be dead on arrival at Kaiser Foundation Hospital.
Which is sad. But, you know, at least one of them survived. But you also have to wonder, with all this stigma around a male being so being protective and being able to protect the woman and all of that, even though that shouldn't be something they have to do. You have to wonder what that did to him mentally.
Yeah, honestly, what I want to know is, like, how, because Zodiac Killer feels pretty efficient to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know how he could have let someone survive. Right. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm glad he survived, but
yeah,
and it just bothers me how he doesn't know who the Zodiac Killer is. I'm sure the Zodiac Killer wore a mask and stuff like that. Because, again, he's, like, an efficient killer, but...
Right.
Just kind of crazy to think about.
But, like, the thing is, not only did someone try to kill him, and, you know, whenever someone tries to kill you, you're not going to be right in the headspace, you know? It freaks you out. It's stressful. I mean, are they going to come for you again? What if they... I mean, just think about it. And so he will always have that running through his brain. He might have PTSD from it. And then he also has to think about the fact that he died instead of, he didn't die.
Or
and Darlene did.
Or he's a Zodiac killer. I mean, you never know. But yeah, I'm just gonna stop that. On September 27th, 1969, Brian Calvin Hartnell and Cecilia Ann Shepherd were stabbed repeatedly. Hartnell survived the 8 wounds to his back that he sustained, but Shepherd died from her injuries 2 days later on September 29th. So it seems like the Zodiac's got a streak of leaving the women dead and the men alive. So I don't know if he's devolving. That typically happens, but...
Mm-hmm.
3 days later, the last confirmed Zodiac killer murder was that of a cab driver. He was 29 years old, Paul Lee Stein. Stein was shot and killed on October 11th, 1969. It's believed by many that the Zodiac killer attacked many more victims than after those 7, but there's no actual evidence to, you know, link him to those.
Yeah.
But so we only have the theories. But it seems like at this point he was speeding up his murders. He wasn't being as efficient. So this could be the state where he's like devolving, not being as efficient. You know, this is typically where they're caught.
It could also, a lot of the pictures show him as a, you know, from what they believe he looks like, show him as an older looking man. So it could be that he's just not as physically capable as he was when he started. He could have gotten injured during one. You never know if they fought back, especially if it was one of the ones that died who fought back. How are you supposed to know?
That's true. Normally there's evidence for that, but we don't really have the medical reports because it's such an old case.
It is such an old case. And if they didn't know how to detect it back then.
That's true.
I'm sure they knew how to detect it slightly because, I mean, they were able to tell, they're able to tell all sorts of stuff. But, like, how much are they truly able to tell from what little information they have?
Yeah, that would be like why so many murders went on in the 70s, because it's just science wasn't what it is today.
Right. There. Especially if they fought back from a distance, like throwing rocks and stuff or
chucking rocks at them.
Yeah. Guys. Listen, some rocks can do quite a bit of damage.
But, I'm just imagining someone chucking rocks at him.
Well, I mean, but people die by being pelted by rocks in places.
Okay. So there were 3 main suspects. Actually, no, there were 7 main suspects for the Zodiac Killer. But the 3 main ones that were really considered.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first of which was Arthur Lee Allen, who was accused of being the Zodiac by Robert Graysmith. There were multiple reasons for his suspicion. Apparently, Allen wore a Zodiac brand watch owned by the same caliber gun as used in many of the murders. And there was a bloody knife discovered in his car, which he claimed was what he used to kill chickens, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense because he was not a butcher.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you carry that with you?
What they should have done is, you know, they have fingerprints from however many years ago. So many years ago that nowadays they can put into a system and figure out who it belongs to. So had they kept that knife with the blood, some of the blood might have stayed on there, or at least fragments of it, and they might have been able to do a DNA search.
I mean, that would be helpful, but we don't even know if the Zodiac Killer is alive. I'm not saying that I don't want to know who it was, but
still,
that's true. Apparently,
it's closure.
That's true. But apparently another, factor that made them suspect Allen was that he was dishonorably discharged from the Navy and had been fired from his teaching position for sexual allegations. So, in fact, actually, there was even the surviving victim, Michael, who identified him as the shooter who tried to kill him. So I don't know why they didn't arrest him or like why he didn't really fully go to trial or anything like that. But apparently that's who he was identified as. But despite this evidence and many other witness allegations, but of course that could have just been, that happens a lot where one person speaks out and the others just believe them.
Right.
With the forensic evidence and everything, specifically his fingerprints, the forensic evidence contradicted this.
Mm-hmm.
So the fingerprints did not match Allen's. The fingerprints that are believed to be the Zodiac's did not actually match his. And his handwriting did not match the letters, along with the DNA evidence did not match up. Because So they had a partial DNA profile created in 2002 from saliva on an envelope believed to be the Zodiac's.
Yeah.
And the DNA just didn't match up.
Okay. Well, first of all, there's a lot wrong with this scenario.
There really is.
I have a lot to say about this, okay? So the fingerprints didn't match what was believed to be the Zodiac's, right? What was believed to be. That could have been just some stranger who was there at some point. You never know.
You know, you never know who's looking your letters, you know?
Said the fingerprints.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yes.
But no, but the DNA profile came from the saliva.
Well, yes, but you said the specifically his fingerprints did not match the Zodiac's. But you don't know who the Zodiac is, so how can you tell? But then also, his handwriting did not match the letters. First of all, there's a thing called forgery. Second of all, there's a thing called writing with the other hand.
Just
third of all, who's stupid enough to use their own handwriting in a letter they're sending to the police?
Exactly. I'm weird, so my handwriting has changed so much over the years, and it looks so different, so it's not that hard, really.
Right, and not to mention, it all makes sense except for he used to be a teacher, and teachers, you know, they write on their students' paper and everyone's like, oh, that looks a lot like this person's handwriting. Like, would you recognize Mr. Beeson's handwriting?
This is totally random, but most of it, yeah, probably.
See, exactly. But so if you saw that in the paper, because obviously they're posting the letters, it would have been like, that kind of looks like this person's. And then it's like, we have these people as suspects. And they're like,
but let's be real here. Not everybody remembers whose handwriting it is. And people do. I don't know if they had this technology back then, but there is a way to identify specific patterns in handwriting.
There is.
But then again, this was back in the 70s. So.
Right.
But there were actually many other suspects. So we were actually, okay, so I really just wanted to outline Alan's. I was going to go into three, but like I figured Alan was the most important one. So I got a lot of, and there was a lot of evidence for him.
Alan looks sus. I mean, let's be honest.
He was the most suspicious one. There were many other suspects, including Lawrence Kane, Ross Sullivan, Richard Marshall, Richard Gajkowski. God, that's hard to say. Earl Van Best Jr., Jack Terrance, and Donald Lee Bujock. I don't know how to say any of these names. The 70s were pretty wacky. I just want to point out the fact that there's two Richards. So I don't know if it's just...
I don't know. Richard was like a popular name back then, though, because whenever you think of an elderly man nowadays, what's one of the names you think of?
Yeah, Richard.
I mean...
I like that name.
It's a nice name. It's not a bad name.
But so a lot of them were suspected for various reasons. Some of them were for the fact that they were in the area at the time that some of the victims went missing.
Oh, please.
I know. But they were scrambling at this point, being mentally unstable or having something in common with the suspected appearance or personality of the Zodiac. So like maybe cocky or like perhaps charismatic, because not that he was like Ted Bundy charismatic or anything, mm-hmm. but you know, obviously he had to approach them
mm-hmm.
and I don't think he killed them like right away. He didn't just pull out a gun. You know, I don't really know.
None of those. Okay. The first two at least were being in the area. Yeah. Okay. And the also being mentally unstable. Neither of those are things that could make implications that, oh, it was definitely this person.
But, you know, I mean, at this point, the police were desperate and mentally unstable. I can kind of see being in the area. It's a little shaky and it's obviously not going to hold up in court, but well, I can see where they're coming from.
It also depends on what you mean as mentally unstable, because, you know, years ago, they used to say stuff like depression, you know, you were just crazy.
That's true.
So, like, you know, you have depression, then all of a sudden you're getting told that you murdered someone because, you know, you have depression. So obviously you did that. And that's, no one wants to hear that, first of all.
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, there's a lot of questioning with the police work back then. It was the 70s. They weren't really, they weren't really that great, I gotta be honest. But seeing as how the Zodiac Killer's identity is officially unknown and none of them were ever definitively determined to be the Zodiac Killer, the details of the ending of his crimes are unknown. I mean, after all, he was never arrested because the police didn't know who he was.
I think the Zodiac wanted to be found out. I think he did. I think he wanted them to find out, which is why even after he stopped killing them and people, he kept sending in letters and all sorts of other stuff, trying to get them to find him and use the new evidence they had. Because, you know, I mean, it just makes sense. Why would you keep sending letters even after you're done killing people?
But it was soon after that he, like... Well, I guess, yeah, I can kind of see that, but he might have still been killing people. We don't, again, there's so much that's unknown with this case. We can only grasp at straws here. That could make sense, though, considering mm-hmm. the fact that, you know, he did want to be on the front page and all.
Exactly. It's just, it's so frustrating.
So as outlined before, we do know that his final crime, at least that's confirmed, was October 11th, 1969. Was of that cab driver that we mentioned earlier in, you know, San Francisco. He continued to send letters, as you said, and ciphers taunting the police even after his killing spree stopped. So that really does kind of give compelling evidence as to maybe why he did want to be caught. Maybe, I don't know if it's necessarily a plea for help because he never really asked the police to stop him, but it is definitely a possibility.
He may very well have felt guilty about it, but not wanting a death sentence, but he wanted to be found out. Because there's, if you remember, and there was a book we read in eighth grade about 10 people on an island. And
Agatha Christie?
Yeah.
I forgot.
By Agatha Christie. And they all slowly were dying or getting murdered. They were trying to figure out how or why and all sorts of stuff. And in the end, you find out who kills them.
As someone you never suspected. I know, yeah. I didn't suspect him.
Oh, no, I absolutely suspected it. I said from the start.
Oh, my God. But, of course you did.
but the point was, the point was, oh, my goodness.
You don't know the point. This is the problem.
The point was, he, at the end, he, before he killed himself as well, he wrote down on a letter, you know, I'm the one who killed all this. Had it not been for the fact that everyone wants their accomplishments to be known.
Yeah, but like, it's a little different. I see the point you're trying to make, but like, he did kill himself, and we don't actually know the Zodiac killed himself because he sent it years after we know his crimes were.
I'm not saying the Zodiac killed himself. I'm just saying he wanted, you know, there was no way for him to go back from the island, leaving all those people without him being suspicious.
That's true. I can, yeah.
Like, oh, all these people died except for you? I mean, come on now.
I can't make parallels to that. I wish we could use his name. I gotta be honest, I don't actually remember his name, but I probably would if I was told it. But we don't want to spoil the novel.
No, because there's people who still haven't read it, and it's an actually decent book.
Anyways, back to the Zodiac Killer. Eventually, you know, as we know, the letters gradually stopped, and the Zodiac Killer went underground.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows exactly why he stopped killing, or if he even did. Or the police just never found the bodies. But the investigation continued for years, but no conclusive identity was ever made. In 2018, however, the Vallejo, I'm sorry, I'm probably butchering that, I don't know how to say it, police department announced plans to submit some evidence in their possession for up-to-date DNA testing. A full DNA profile would make it possible to search open-source genealogy databases for a match of the Zodiac Killer. However, as of now, 2020, no matches have been found yet. But this could be due to the fact that back in the 60s and 70s, when the Zodiac Killer was primarily active, the police were not as detail-oriented or forensic-savvy, so evidence may have been mishandled. It, you know, there's so many things that could have happened.
That's infuriating. People just need to be smart. It's not that hard. Don't touch this stuff.
But they didn't. They may not have known that. That's the issue.
They were comparing fingerprints.
Listen, I don't know. They didn't, like, have any forensic specialists.
If you're comparing fingerprints, are you going to put your thumb against it to see if yours matches and touch
it? Who knows? Maybe.
That's going to ruin the whole fingerprint to begin with. You're ruining everything.
But keep in mind, the police in the 70s, I mean, no disrespect, but they weren't exactly, like, I don't know. They weren't. Compared to today's police work, it wasn't the best. And it was very, it wasn't as handled as well because of just society in general.
Yeah.
So because of this and just the general environment, who knows, like today, Zodiac may not have been as successful, but because of his prime in killing and when he killed people, he is one of the most elusive serial killers by far, you know, again, mm-hmm. especially for his time.
Mm-hmm.
So again, not meaning to sound crazy or a fangirl here, but it's quite impressive in my opinion.
No, he's definitely, his murder, I want to be, okay, I don't know how to say this. Okay, he did, from a serial killer's perspective, he's somewhat admirable. However, I have never been more disappointed in a serial killer's actions. I mean, he wrote his own letters,
He what left are you going to do? Have someone else do it for you? You're going to get caught that way.
No, what you do, I mean, come on. What you do is you take multiple different magazines just randomly or newspapers and cut out pieces of letters and then glue them on to a piece of paper.
I'm going to know exactly when you become a murderer one day because you're just telling me all your, like, what modus operandis.
I mean, come on. It's not that hard. Or just type it out. There's typewriters.
Yeah, but, like, you gotta, you know, you gotta admire his spirit. What if he just wanted to be his own?
Admire the spirit. It was his...
Shh. You know, don't argue with me, because I'm right.
No.
You know what?
You're really not.
Stop making fun of him. That's so mean.
But he was definitely an awful person.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he was.
Yeah. He wasn't very good of a person, and that's that.
I mean, that's true.
Well, I mean, yeah, I know it's true. I just said it. Haha, I'm kidding.
But, yeah, I mean, that's about it we have for the Zodiac Killer. Again, it's a disappointing ending. I'm not going to lie.
Right. I really want to know who he is.
Yeah, we don't know who he is. The police work was awful. And it's overall a disappointing case. I mean... Mm-hmm. It's a good story to tell, for sure. And there's a reason he's so popular. But overall, it's a pretty disappointing story. But, I mean, you know, sorry to disappoint you guys if that wasn't exactly what you were hoping for. But this is a Zodiac Killer. We did tell you. But, yeah, so...
Thanks so much for joining us on Crime Kooks.
You're really coming off like that. I gotta do it. We're gonna do it. No, you can't argue with me. Tune in next time to hear about Lizzie Borden. And again, I'm Emily. Now you can talk.
And I'm Rachel.
Don't be stupid and stay safe.